Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, morning dear devotees, step on humble obeisances, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. So this morning's class is from Chaitanya Charitamrita Adilila, chapter 3. We'll start with text 108 and I'll recite that, and if you feel so inclined, you can also read the Sanskrit or chant the Sanskrit. Ganga Jala Tulasi Manjari Anukshana Krishna para bhava padma bhavi kare samapana Ganga jale tulasi manjari anukshana Krishna para bhava bhavi kare samapana Ganga jale tulasi manjari anukshana Krishna para bhava bhavi kare samapana Hare Krishna. We'll do the word for word. Ganga Jalam, the water of the Ganges. Tulasi Manjari, buds of the Tulasi plant. Anukshana, constantly. Krishna of Lord Krishna. Pada Padma, lotus feet. Bhavi, thinking of. Kare, das. Samapana, offering. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Thinking of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, he constantly offered tulasi buds in water from the Ganges. Text 109. Krishna re avhana kari kari ahunkara emate Krishna re karaina avatara. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. He appealed to Sri Krishna with loud calls and thus made it possible for Krishna to appear. Text 110. Chaitanyera avatare ehi mokahetu Bhaktera echaya avatare dharma setu. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, the principal reason for Sri Chaitanya's descent is this appeal by Advaita Acharya. The Lord, the protector of religion, appears by the desire of his devotee. Text 111. Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita vritsaroja Ashti shritekshita patu nanuna tapungsham Yad yadi yata urugaya vivavayanti Tat tat phubu panayase sat anugrahaya. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Oh my Lord, you always dwell in the vision and hearing of your pure devotees. You also live in their lotus-like hearts, which are purified by devotional service. O my Lord, who are glorified by exalted prayers, you show special favor to your devotees by manifesting yourself in the eternal forms in which they welcome you. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This text from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 9, Text 11, is a prayer by Lord Brahma to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna for his blessings in the work of creation. Knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be understood from the descriptions of the Vedic scriptures. For example, the Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, text 29, describes that in the abode of Lord Krishna, which is made of Chintamani, touchstone, the Lord, acting as a cowherd boy, is served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Mayavadis think that the devotees have imagined the form of Krishna, But the authentic Vedic scriptures have actually described Krishna in his various transcendental forms. The word Shruta in Shruta Kshita Patha refers to the Vedas, and Ikshita indicates that the way to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead is by proper study of the Vedic scriptures. One cannot imagine something about God or his form. Such imagination is not accepted by those who are serious about enlightenment. Here, Brahma says that one can know Krishna through the path of properly understanding the Vedic texts. If by studying the form, name, qualities, pastimes, and paraphernalia of the Supreme God, one is attracted to the Lord, he can execute devotional service, and the form of the Lord will be impressed in his heart and remain transcendentally situated there. Unless a devotee actually develops transcendental love for the Lord, it is not possible for him to think always of the Lord within his heart. Such constant thought of the Lord is a sublime perfection of the yogic process, as the Bhagavad Gita confirms in the 6th chapter, text 47, stating that anyone absorbed in such thought is the best of all yogis. Such transcendental absorption is known as samadhi. A pure devotee who is always thinking of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the person qualified to see the Lord. One cannot speak of Urugaya, the Lord who is glorified by sublime prayers, unless one is transcendentally elevated. The Lord has innumerable forms, as the Brahma Samhita confirms, Advaitam Achyutam Anadi Ananta Rupam, Brahma Samhita chapter 5, text 33. The Lord expands himself in innumerable shramsha forms. When a devotee hearing about these innumerable forms becomes attached to one and always thinks of him, the Lord appears to him in that form. Krishna is especially pleasing to such devotees in whose hearts he is always present because of their highly elevated transcendental love. Om Agnati Vidandasya Gyana Gyana Shalakaya Chakshu Umbilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantika Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaisnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunata Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Prate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namustite Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Paramanini Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Truvyascha Kripa Sundhivya Eva Cha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivashari Dvora Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Peshtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravana Pacharine Nirvishesha Sunya Vali Paschatyadi Sitarine Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Padaya Te Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gura Chisei Namaha Ananda Lidamaya Vigrahaya Himavidi Vichavishundaraya Tasmi Mahaprema Raspadaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So, please go back to the previous, the first text. So, text 108. So, the translation is, thinking of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, he constantly offered tulasi baths in water from the Ganges. So he here refers to Shiradweta Acharya. And he is one of the five forms of the Lord, Panchatattva. Shiradweta Acharya was already present. If I remember correctly, Chandramaya Swami said he was born 52 years before Lord Chaitanya came. And so he was already quite up there in age. And this is by Kali Yuga standards, of course, and very in Kali Yuga. So the degraded condition of the world necessitated Advaita Acharya's decision to call the Lord to come. He wanted the Lord to come. And there are internal reasons too. Internal reasons for Lord Chaitanya coming was that he wanted to taste the love given by Srimati Radharani to him. So for this internal reason, he came himself. Because it is said by Srila Prabhupada that Advaita Acharya actually could have handled the situation that was going, becoming worse and worse. But Advaita Acharya was not the one that was wanting to taste the love of Radharani towards Krishna. It was Krishna himself. So, everything works wonderfully and consistently with the Lord and the Lord's incarnations and the Lord's expansions. So this was arranged that Advaita Acharya would ask for the external reasons to be dealt with by the Lord himself. And the external reasons were, one, to deal with the situation that was getting worse and worse and worse in Kali Yuga, people becoming irreligious, and also not only change their minds, but propagate the Yuga Dharma in such a way that many, many people will in fact take to the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, which is the Yuga Dharma. Tulsi offering causes Krishna to be very much obliged to the person who is offering Tulsi. Krishna literally offers himself to that devotee who is offering Tulsi to the Lord. That's why it's a very, very simple process that if you have Tulsi leaves, that you actually offer them to Krishna on your altar, or when you're offering bhoga, you also put the Tulsi leaf in there. There's so much, for us, it's a very simple thing to do, but there are so much spiritual credits if you involve Tulsi in your worship. Very, very, very important. And Advaita Acharya is showing that. So, he was offering constantly, every day, Ganges water and Tulsi Manjaris, the flowers to Tulsi. So in the next text, Advaita Acharya was appealing to the Lord with loud calls. This is very, very instructive for us. When we chant, we should chant out, not chant silently. There are no hard and fast rules for chanting. Therefore, chanting silently is not wrong. But when we chant, when we can hear the chant, the holy name of the Lord, then our tongue is vibrating the mantra and we have our ears also hearing. The more senses that we apply in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, the more focused our chanting is. So it is good for us to chant so we can hear. Now, not only is that beneficial for us, but it is also beneficial for the living entities who are within earshot of how, of where we are chanting. They also benefit because the Mahamantra is in fact the spirit, that's Krishna, asking the Lord and the energy of the Lord Srimati Radharani to please engage us in devotional service to them. Devotional service is what brings Krishna Prema, or love of Godhead. And so if we chant like that, we're making a request, just like Advaita Acharya was making a request for Krishna to appear himself. But when we do that, all the entities around us They also, the living entities, have souls in them. And the souls are senses, including hearing. The real senses, as my spiritual master dictated to me, answered me the question I was asking, the real senses is the senses of a soul. So, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will be benefited. I mean, the living entities will be benefited by the chanting of our name, of the names of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. They will benefit. We will benefit. That way we're helping them. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of living entities are around us that our eyes can't see. The bacteria, the germs. They are all living entities, which means the Lord is present in them as Paramatma, and they also have their own souls. Even as small a body, a physical body, as that is, it's there. And so we chant out loud. So Advaita Acharya is teaching us with his example of calling out loudly to the Lord. All prayers are heard. And repeated prayers involving devotion are never missed. They are never ever missed. Repeated prayers involving bhakti are always one way or the other responded to by the Lord. We say one way or the other because sometimes we don't have say in how the Lord responds to it, but we know he will respond to repeated prayers. Therefore, if we want to do something devotional, we can pray for help for that to happen. And as long as we keep repeating our prayers and say it with sincerity and intensity, and it's not about material things, but it's about devotional service, the prayers will be heard and something will be done about it by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, the conclusion here is in 110, the text 110. The principal reason for Lord Chaitanya's descent is this appeal by Advaita Acharya. So Advaita Acharya's prayers were heard, and the way he did the praying with Ganges water and the Tulasi Manjari, the Tulasi flowers, is very, very, very much instructive to us to use Tulsi in our prayers, in our activities, in our service to the Lord. So, the Lord, the protector of religion, appears by the desire of his devotee. There is connection between the Lord and his devotee. There is a loving connection between the Lord and his devotee. And so when his devotee makes a request for something that involves the Lord in spiritual activity, that request most likely is going to be heard. And as we said earlier, repeated requests definitely, definitely have some response from the Lord. And so Advaita Acharya blessed us by asking Lord Chaitanya to come for the external reason, which is the chapter went on, the external reasons for the advent or for the descent of Lord Chaitanya. Krishna coming as a devotee of Krishna. Krishna coming to show us how the best way to be devoted to the Lord. So Krishna came 5,000 years ago to speak to Arjuna in the battle of Kurukshetra. And then Krishna came a little over 500 years ago as Lord Chaitanya, the one we're talking about now, to show us how to perform bhakti. So tell, as Krishna did, and show, as Lord Chaitanya did, he really, really, really stressed the point and cement the point in our minds as to how we should involve ourselves in bhakti. So Advaita Acharya is the one that called. Lord Chaitanya descended. So the Lord acts out of love for his devotee. out of love for his devotee. And in chapter 3, text 111, so now a prayer by Lord Brahma has been called here. Oh my Lord, you always dwell in the vision and hearing of your pure devotees. In the vision and in the hearing of your pure devotees. So the pure devotees are the ones that have their eyes tinged with the salve of love, and they can see the Lord in all forms. They see the Lord everywhere, and they see the Lord in the deity, and they can relate to the Lord in the deity. There was one point that was made by a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, that Srila Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan in West Virginia, to the altar. When he came to, to the Dhamma. And when he got into the temple, he went to the altar. And he stood there a long time. And those who were near him realized that he was actually communicating, talking with the deity. So the pure devotees can relate well. We are learning how to, because we are conditioned souls. But the pure devotees always have Krishna in their hearts. So as it says, Lord Brahma is saying, you also live in their lotus-like hearts. Lotus-like, when we say, that Bhatishu Swami has described, when we say lotus feet, lotus eyes, lotus. The lotus flower is very beautiful. So lotus, it describes the quality, and other properties of that particular part that's been described. So if you live in the lotus-like hearts, the hearts are pure, the hearts are genuine, the hearts are beautiful. When we talk about the lotus feet of the Lord, the feet of the Lord are beautiful, the feet of the Lord are aromatic, just like the lotus is also aromatic. So those are ways when we see lotus-like, that's what we should be thinking. The lotus conveys like that, this kind of meaning. So you live in their lotus-like hearts, pure hearts in this case. And how do the pure hearts come about? They are purified by devotional service. So the lesson that we learned here is that devotional service will cause us to have our hearts purified. And with that, the internal happiness will also come. So, Lord Brahma is continuing the prayers. Oh my Lord, who are glorified by exalted prayers, you show special favor to your devotees by manifesting yourself in eternal forms in which they welcome you. So, special favor is showed by the devotees who love certain, in the original personality of Godhead, or certain expansions of the Lord, whichever one that they connect with, the Lord manifests himself in that. In other words, what the devotee is looking to do or connect with in love, Krishna makes it possible. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying, this is a prayer by Lord Brahma to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, related to the creation. So Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is the one that taught Lord Brahma how to create from the universe the different things which we now see as nature. It was from Lord Vishnu who was prayed to by Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma also performed austerity, tapa. And then in his heart, the creation idea was given to him. Sometimes you say his heart, so, but where's the mind? The heart is where the subtle body is. Mind, intelligence. That's in the heart area. Science has been telling that the brain, which is in the head area, but this has been explained to us that the subtle body is in the heart area. So the mind and intelligence are in the heart area. The brain is connected to the mind, true enough. And the brain is far more mechanical in the things that it does to the body. But the mind is subtle. The brain is gross. The mind is subtle. And that's the difference. To the mind is also in the heart, just like the intelligence is also in the heart. But they are connected to the brain, true enough. That is there. Just like in many ways, subtle things are connected also to this gross body, not just the brain only. So, knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be understood from the Vedic scriptures. This is why many times different aspects of the Vedas are coded to make different points. And the spiritual masters are expert in doing that. And that's why we hear from them and take guidance from them. And Srila Prabhupada talks about how Brahma Samhita describes the abode of Lord Krishna, which is made of Chintamani touchstone. There are so many jewels from the ground itself up to all the buildings. Chintamani. They do not need maintenance. Just like the material world things fall apart and you have to call an expert to come fix things. Things are permanent. There are lawns. You don't have to cut them. The grass, the lawns are effulgent. The Lord's abode is wonderful. We've left it a long time ago that we don't remember any part of it. Because, well, the minds that we have here are material minds. Even in our last life, we don't remember the things that happened. Much less remember millions of years which we were in the spiritual world and now we've left. So a hint is given here and there about Lord Brahma in Brahma Samhita. And there are hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. There are hundreds and thousands of Surabhi cows. And they're all decorated beautifully. So there's this feeling of peace, there's a feeling of joy and wonderful loving relationship between Krishna and all that are in the spiritual world. And Srila Prabhupada also describes one time when devotees were asking him questions about the spiritual world, he says, how does service go on? What the quality of service that goes on? He says, the quality is all based on love, which means it's based on desire. Whatever the soul wants to do, whatever anyone wants to do in loving service to the Lord accepts. In whatever form. In whatever form. So it's all voluntary. And the soul can change one form to another. The soul can be a tree, the soul can be an ant, the soul can be a river, the soul can be a gopi, like that. It all depends on who or the service that the person wants or the personality wants to give to the divine couple. And Srila Prabhupada talks about Mayavadis thinking that the form of Krishna is imaginary, but we won't even spend time on that because we know the devotees know that Krishna is very, very real. The reality of life is because Krishna is real. That's why we have anything that we call reality. So, Srila Prabhupada sometimes takes time to, you know, put the Mayavadi philosophy in its place because sometimes that's also projected around the world. And some people believe in the Mayavadi philosophy. Neti, neti, and this goes on. So, studying the form and qualities and pastime for the Supreme Personality of Godhead attracts a person to the Lord. Then from there, Srila Prabhupada says, when that love is building, then devotional service. First, we ask to do things. Do this, do that, do that, do that, all devotional service. But after a while of doing it, then it grows on you. The habit then begins to form. You do yourself, and now you look forward to doing it. The other ways to get involved in devotional service is to watch those who are actually involved in it and what they do and see how dedicated they are to their service. That also sometimes will you know, impress upon our minds that we should also be involved and do that, do the service. This is what gives transcendental love. And then it becomes a situation where we are thinking of our Lord always in our hearts. Then we're developing the love. Slowly it gets to a point where we're very fixed in devotion service. We're very fixed in being a Krishna conscious person, and nobody can change our minds about it. So, Srila Prabhupada says that constant thought of our Lord is the sublime perfection of the yogic process. And in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 647, Srila Prabhupada mentioned, Yoginam api sarvesham madgatan nata atmana sharavan bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mata. Srila Prabhupada talks about that quite a bit in many lectures. Yoginam api sarvesham. Of all the yogis who do different types of yoga, the one with great faith and who always abides in me and thinks of me and renders transcendental loving service to me, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. He is the most intimately united with me. So the person who thinks of the Lord and renders devotional service, transcendental loving service to the Lord, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga. There are all different kinds of yoga. The lowest one being Hatha Yoga. People do poses for the physical body's welfare. That's there. And then there are all kinds of other types of yoga. The highest is Bhakti Yoga. Transcendental loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna says he's the most intimately united with me of all yogis. That is my opinion. And so this, and when Krishna says that's my opinion, you might as well take it as an order. That a fact. Although of course he's free to use whatever words that he wants to use. But he says that the bhakti yogi is the one that thinks of him, and the Lord appears in whatever form that the yogi likes to think of him. The bhakti yogi likes to think of him. The Lord has so many forms, uncountable. Now, speaking about that though, Srila Prabhupada has given us some directions as to thinking of the Lord in the Lord's form. Srila Prabhupada prefers that we think of Radha Krishna. And there's a reason for that. That does not mean that we couldn't think of Shingadev, we couldn't think of Vamanadev, as we have even Vamanadev today. He says Radha Krishna, when we're chanting, we should have in our mind the image of Radha Krishna or our spiritual master. Why? Because when we're thinking of Radha Krishna or our spiritual master all of the time, or at least most of the time, then when it comes time for us to leave, we're going to be thinking of Radha Krishna. And where's the abode of Radha Krishna? The abode of Radha Krishna is Goloka Vrindavan. And that's where Srila Prabhupada wants us to go. That is the most versatile of loving service and loving exchanges with the Lord. That one particular planet. And Radha and Krishna, that's the abode. If you think of Narayan, yes you can, but that would take you to one of the planets in Vaikuntha, where the Lord is served in awe and reverence. Not the Goloka Vrindavan, where the Lord is served in different rasas, five different rasas, five major rasas or relationships. That's why Srila Prabhupada prefers that we think, and he is the Param Guru, preeminent spiritual master. He prefers that we think of Radha and Krishna when we're chanting. Just like he prefers that, okay, we can chant. No hard and fast rules for chanting. We can just chant any time of the day or night. But he says the early morning is the best. Because in the material world, the early morning, the air is clean. Metaphysically, it is clean. Many people who cause more the passion and ignorance in their activities in the earth in the mornings are not usually awake early morning. They're not. And so this is the time, the Brahma Muhurta time. And that's why it says it is best to chant if you can. If your situation is such that you can rise up around that time, you should do that and chant the holy name of the Lord. But we should chant the holy name of the Lord regardless. At any time. So there are some times that are better than others. And then, as you said, thinking of Radha Krishna, if we think of Radha Krishna, then you go into the abode of Radha Krishna, Goloka Vrindavan, it's a much, much better chance for us to go there. And of course, Lord Chaitanya, also connected with Goloka, preaching to us as the Lord that's coming to the body, in the mood of Radha. So, whatever form of a Lord that the devotee likes, the Lord will manifest to the devotee in that form, because that's an exchange of love. So we must desperately beg Lord Gauranga, just like Advaita Acharya was calling loudly for the Lord to come. We must also beg Lord Nityananda and Lord Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya, to give us his love or their love and protect our devotional keeper. Those are very powerful prayers to help us, show us how to love them and protect our devotional keeper. We should desperately beg Lord Gauranga to keep us, to help us keep regulative principles and the obedience of the regulative principles foremost in our minds. Why? The regulative principles, we have to obey them, all four of them, to get to the level of the human level. That human threshold. Otherwise, we're behaving like animals. So, we should desperately beg Lord Gauranga to have us obey the regulative principles at all times. First, keep it foremost in our minds, but also obey them at all times. So, we should also beg Lord Gauranga to help us to use Krishna consciousness in our language when speaking to other devotees, and even when we speak to others that are non-devotees. We should bring the wisdom found in the scriptures, especially Bhagavad Gita. Bring that wisdom into our discussions with them, and that way bring them up to the mode of goodness. And finally, we should beg, desperately beg Lord Gauranga to have us stay enthusiastic at all times in our services. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So much we've learned from Advaita Acharya. Loud calling to the Lord. Hare Krishna. First of all, we have to remember that we have been given 9 processes of service to the Lord. Hearing and chanting are 2 of them. Remembering the Lord is another. Offering obeisances to the Lord's feet is another. Praying to the Lord. I remember Bhaktivedanta Maharaj sometime back made a comment that devotees think that when they chant, yes, they finish their prayer to the Lord, but then they don't ask specific prayers. The praying to the Lord, as we see in the case of Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya knew the Mahamantra, but he was requesting Lord Chaitanya to come. That was a specific prayer. It is important to remember that, especially those of us conditioned souls, we have so many faults. In order to work through the faults and become more purified, we need the help of spiritual master, we need the help of the devotees, and we need the help of Krishna. And so, the things that we are weak in, those should be definitely part of our prayers for help. Just the fact that we know that there are some areas that we're weak, that should be the reason for us to pray for improvement in those areas. So every devotee, whatever part of spiritual life that they're struggling with, that should be their prayer. That should be a request to the Lord for us to get help from the Lord. We don't know the way in which the help would take, the form in which it would take. But we should put in that prayer to help. So if you're a pure body, of course, you know what to do. But if you're not a pure body like me, then the weaknesses that we have should be priority and included in our prayers. When it comes to be priority, when we pray to the Lord, we should pray to the Lord because of our weakness. That's the point that I really want to make. Because of our weakness. Nobody can say that we don't have something to ask of the Lord. If you don't have anything, then ask the Lord to help for improvement of your weakness. And that should be an impetus, motivation to pray to the Lord. Hare Krishna. It's very, very, very good question. When we pray, as we said earlier, Srila Prabhupada, I haven't said this, but Srila Prabhupada has said that, yes, we have material needs, but the Lord is supplying the needs of even those who are in non-human bodies. The aquatics, trees, insects, birds, animals, reptiles, they don't pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the Lord supplies their needs. Therefore, it is not important to be praying for material needs from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's also the reason we said it is rather we should be more concerned about purity, because the more we elevate ourselves by our service and our consciousness in purity, the greater the chance that this body will be the last body and we will live and get the mercy of the Lord. And that's why where there are weaknesses in our spiritual pursuit, the spiritual life, that we pray to the Lord. We certainly can pray to the spiritual master also and even ask questions for help and reveal our minds also. That's all there. But if we want to pray to the deity, pray for something spiritual. Don't pray for something material, because material things are temporary. Even if you got it from a demigod, it is still temporary. It's not going to last. And we don't want another lifetime and another lifetime and another lifetime where there are so many disturbances which are getting worse in Kali Yuga. So devotees should actually have the back of their minds. We're praying, but we have to pray for elevation in spirituality. And that's why we talked about the four regulative principles or any other things that we find that we are weak in and would like to see that we've improved, an improvement in that area. That should be what we put on the lotus feet, under the lotus feet of the Lord, that please help us in that. Material things, Krishna will supply what we need. And we won't get any more than what is allotted us in this particular lifetime. So that's not priority. Besides, it's temporary, material things. The material desires may be there, but you go to the deity with spiritual requests. Hare Krishna. Thank you for the question. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Association of devotees is very, very, very important. It's critical and it's also sweet. So when we study in association of devotees, there are so many realizations that would come up. Then there's Gyan and Vigyan, realized knowledge. Vigyan is realized knowledge. So from studying and having discussions, we will have more light shed on the particular topics that we're talking about or that we study. Yes, studying from the scriptures, because the scriptures are the guides, the codes of the Lord. So that's there. But studying it in a group, or you can study by yourself, yes. But studying it and also sharing, that's what groups do. And that is much, much, much more fulfilling, because when you study, you get some realizations yourself. Somebody else studies, they get some other realizations. And then when we share those realizations, then it makes that discussion quite wholesome. Puts it to another level. As now we're experiencing, many of us have read The Science of Self-Realization. But in the Bhakti Lounge we have every Monday evening, and anybody's welcome to come, by the way. In the evenings, in the temple, we're reading the same sense of self-realization, and it's coming across at a whole different level. It's very, 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 very sweet. Because worries add to it. We stop at the end of every paragraph and have some comments made on it. And I know personally I'm enjoying reading way more than the first. Now, the first spiritual book I ever read was Science of Self-Realization. And at that time, it was a big eye-opener for me. There were so many things I did not know, the science of self-realization thought. But now we can go even deeper into it. The same book. So yeah, studying in the group discussion and having group discussions are wonderful. And it's always recommended at any time. Hare Krishna. So, You can draw conclusions that are very, very helpful, but when you get the conclusions and realizations from other devotees, it makes it sweeter. Hare Krishna. They're coming to the temple and offering praise and pujas and singing and dancing before the deity opens our hearts to connect with the deity. This is why associating with devotees in the temple is very important. This is the start. And from that, and oh, also, that association, you see that everybody's enthusiasm level goes up when we are doing kirtan and bhajan, kirtan to the Lord. Yes, the answer to your question is yes. That is how we get to connect with the Lord. And then from the connection, we want to be better devotees than for them. We can put our case before Guru or case before Lord Gauranga to help us to be better devotees. Yes. So is it correct? Yes. The familiarity comes through the chanting, coming to the temple, being with, we have our own deities at home. Yes. But the excitement level is when other devotees are around, and that happens when we congregate in the temple. The Lord is there. The other thing is, the temple has 100% business of Krishna consciousness. Once you enter, a different force field, and you can feel it. Very different from when you enter the home, even if you make your home a temple of the Lord. Entering the temple is the place where all other devotees will come with the intent of serving the Lord. So the energy there is wonderful like that. And so yes, we will get to know Krishna more through the devotees, through discussions, and through the pujas that we do, and all joining in congregational chanting. Hare Krishna. Vanchakalpaturubhyascha kripasindivyaevacha Vijana Pavane Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Namaha Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Vaishnava Thakur Ki Jai Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bol Jai